Well, would you please, first of all, go to the book of Genesis in chapter 17, and then 28, then we go to a psalm. Genesis 17, we're beginning a new series on the names of God, which of course reflects his character. Genesis chapter 17, and then over to chapter 28, and then Psalm 91. We're going to look at El Shaddai, which means the God who strengthens the Almighty. So Genesis 17, first of all, in the first 8 verses. Genesis 17, 1 to 8. When Abraham was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abraham and said to him, I am Almighty God. Walk before me and be blameless. And I will make my covenant between me and you, and will multiply you exceedingly. Then Abraham fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying, As for me, behold, my covenant is with you, and you shall be a father of many nations. No longer shall your name be called Abram, but your name shall be called Abraham, for I have made you a father of many nations. The word the H-A there means breath. God is going to put breath into Abraham and Sarah. She's going to change from Sarai to Sarah. So breath is going to be in them so they can have a child in their old age. I have made you a father of many nations. Verse 6, make you exceedingly fruitful, and I will make nations of you, and kings shall come from you. And I will establish my covenant between me and you and your descendants after you in their generations for an everlasting covenant. Be God to you and your descendants after you. Also I give to you and your descendants after you the land, which you are a stranger, all the land of Canaan, as an everlasting possession, and I will be their God. Go on, please, to chapter 28 and look at the first 4 verses. Chapter 28. We had the promise to Abraham become Abraham. And now it is also, when we look at him, 28 verses 1 to 4. Isaac called Jacob and blessed him and charged him and said to him, You shall not take a wife from the daughters of Canaan. Arise, go to Paddan Aram, to the house of Bethuel, your mother's father. Take yourself a wife from there of the daughters of Laban, your mother's brother. May God Almighty bless you, make you fruitful, and multiply you, that you may be an assembly of peoples, and give you the blessing of Abraham to you and your descendants with you, that you may inherit the land in which you are a stranger, which God gave to Abraham. I was Almighty once again. Now go to Psalm 91, please. I'm going to read the whole psalm, Psalm 91, whole psalm, verse 1, familiar verses, I'm quite sure. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him I will trust. Surely He shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the perilous pestilence. He shall cover you with His feathers, and under His wings you shall take refuge. His truth shall be your shield and buckler. You shall not be afraid of the terror by night, nor of the arrow that flies by day, nor of the pestilence that walks in darkness, nor of the destruction that lays waste at noonday. 1,000 may fall at your side, and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near you. Only with your eyes shall you look and see the reward of the wicked. Because you have made the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Most High, your habitation. No evil shall befall you, nor shall any plague come near your dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. They shall bear you up with their hands, lest you dash your foot against a stone. You shall tread upon the lion and the cobra, the young lion and the serpent you shall trample underfoot. Because he has set his love upon me, therefore I will deliver him. This is the Lord speaking. I will set him on high because he has known my name. He shall call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. What a promise. How many promises. The meaning of El Shaddai in the Hebrew. It means the God who strengthens, nourishes, sustains, and satisfies. He is the one God, as you read in these scriptures and others, who makes fruit. The word shad, as a root for El Shaddai, means in Hebrew, breast. It is God who says, come and feed at my breast. In other words, come close to me. Come near to me. It's the thoughts, of course, of a baby feeding at the breast of his mother.
being nourished, sustained, and satisfied. So it is with the Christian believer, by the Lord who is God Almighty, of fellowship with him. Would you go with me now to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. And look at verses 14 to 18. These are conditions of his blessing. 2 Corinthians 6, 14 to the end. Do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? What communion has light with darkness? What accord has Christ with Belial? Or what part has a believer with an unbeliever? And what agreement has the temple of God, which we are, with idols? For you are the temple of the living God, as God has said, I will walk among them, I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Therefore, come out from among them, and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. I will be a father to you, conditional. And you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. Conditions, separating yourselves unto the Lord. And the Lord says, I'll look after you. I'll be a father to you, my sons and daughters, relationship, because I am the Lord God Almighty. So in other words, here in 2 Corinthians 6, as in the other readings, there is care and protection of God who is Father to his redeemed children. We're sons and daughters of the Lord God Almighty, El Shaddai. Later on, we don't turn to it, but in 2 Corinthians 12:9, well-known verse, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength, El Shaddai, is made perfect in your weakness. And Paul replies, most gladly I will rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Sometimes the problems we have in life is there because the Lord wants to strengthen us in our weakness. Now, go back to a psalm with me, once again to Psalm 37. Psalm 37. Let the scriptures speak for themselves. So they do. Psalm 37, just a few verses, 7 to 10. Psalm 37, 7 to 10. Psalm 37, verse 7. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Do not fret because of him who prospers his way, because of the man who brings wicked schemes to pass. Cease from anger, forsake wrath, do not fret, if it only comes to harm. For evildoers shall be cut off, but those who wait on the Lord, they shall inherit the earth, millennium. For yet a little while, and the wicked shall be no more. Indeed, you will look diligently for his place, but he shall not be, shall be no more. This is the Lord's dealing with those who are his enemies, but at the same time protecting his own. And if you go back to the previous psalm, and look in verse 8, concerning believers, they are abundantly satisfied with the fullness of your house, and you give them drink from the rivers of your pleasures. Verse 9, this is a verse I want to bring to you as well. As well as protection from the enemies. God deals with his enemies. But for you, who belong to him, verse 9, Psalm 36, for you, with you, is the fountain of life. In your light, we see light. In God's light, we see light. That's fellowship. That's a close relationship. And he gives us pleasures, rivers to drink of his life. That's certainly true. He is the very fountain of life to us. He's the one who brings about life to us. And as drink and bread, food and water, and food generally speaking, implies that this is the one, the Lord, who provides for us. He's a God of nourishment, one who sustains. El Shaddai, feed at his breath, get close to him. In John 7, needn't turn to this, it was at the Feast of Tabernacles, that Jesus attended, of course. In the latter verses of John 7, 37 to 39, I quote this, Jesus said, if any man thirst, let him come to me and drink. He that believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly, out of his inner center of life, the heart, shall flow rivers of living water. He said this similarly, of course, to the woman at the well in John 4, verse 14. Whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him, he said, shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give shall be in him a well of water, springing up into everlasting life. The nourishment, sustaining grace, the satisfying ability of the Lord God Almighty, be nourished by him at his breast, feed and drink of him. Yet in a way, you know, in a bit of a sad contrast, and we know this, we see people around us who have professed faith in the Lord and redemption, the Lord says, They're drinking from empty cisterns, not drinking of the water of life freely springing up. In Isaiah 55, we won't ask you to turn to it. The Lord says, come to me and drink. Water of life freely, the fountain that sustains and flows to us, that can be forsaken. For the world of unbelievers, they try all the broken systems of life. You know that. Those broken systems, Jeremiah talks about them, can never hold the water of life, which Jesus gives free. People feed on the empty husks of what surrounds them in the world, which can never satisfy, because there's no grain and nourishment in them. It can't sustain, it can't satisfy. In fact, they cheat. People look for bread and there's only husks. And the world around us deceives unbelievers, keeps them away from the Lord, doesn't it? We know that. The humanism, the materialism, keeps people away from the Lord. And they go after the fountains that can never satisfy in the world around. They go for the empty cisterns that hold no water. But we are the ones who are strengthened by El Shaddai, nourished, sustains, and satisfied, and makes fruitful, as we read in the other readings. See, people who have wrong foundations never build on good building, do they? Christ is our foundation. We build on him, of course. And these broken cisterns, these empty cisterns, which hold no water, can't satisfy. They leak out to emptiness. People have a wrong foundation. Just like the fox trying to leap up with the grapes that always escape him. Always out of reach. That's a sad situation of those who choose to reject Christ and remain unbelievers. These people are never satisfied. They look for all something new every time. But they never satisfy. They aim for the wrong issues of life. We aim for the life giver, the light giver, the bread giver, the salvation giver. So also he is the God who makes fruitful. We found that in Genesis 17 and 28. The promises to Abraham, one day he would have a son, Isaac, not somebody. He would have a son. Out of him would come the generations of Israel as a nation. He would be father of many nations, because out of Ishmael will come the Arab peoples. Very wealthy, God makes them that way. And this is a promise to the true son, Isaac. Out of Isaac will come blessing. And so it did. And of course you know that Abraham and Sarah have breath of life entered into them. And at the age of 99 and 90, Sarah had a son from Abraham. Miracle, of course. Same with Zechariah and Elizabeth in the gospel narrative. In their old age, they had a son, John the Baptizer, we know this. So there was, if you like, Isaac, the true heir from Abraham, and Jacob, the true heir, Isaac, and all the way through to the generations of Israel. And it says he will give his people an everlasting covenant. How long is that? Everlasting. Israel has a future, without any doubt. Go back to Genesis 28 again, would you? And look at verse 3 to bear this out. Genesis 28 and verse 3. The God who makes fruitful, promise to Isaac, promise to Abraham. This is the promise in God Almighty, 28 verse 3. May God Almighty bless you, make you fruitful, multiply you, that you may be an assembly of peoples, and give you the blessing of Abraham, and to you and your descendants with you, that you may inherit the land which you are a stranger with. God gave to Abraham, and that's an eternal promise. He is the God who makes fruitful. He wants to shape our lives so that we maintain fruitfulness to him. Fruitfulness in growth spiritually, bearing the fruits of the Holy Spirit in life, the qualities of Christ as the Holy Spirit works. We are the branches and he is the true vine. We must abide in the true vine in order to bear fruit. But we know the husbandman, as John 15 bears out, he is the one who cares for the branches. And if there's any unfruitful part of a branch, he just nips it off. Nothing to do with salvation. It's pruning for our blessing. So Almighty God breathed life into Abraham and Sarah, and they had a son, Isaac. Oh yes, he's a God who prunes in order that we might become more fruitful. That's true of all the Old Testament characters too. And that pruning shapes our lives. Hebrews, of course, mentions about his chastening of his children, which proves that we are his children. People who say they're Christians who don't know the discipline or pruning of the Lord, you wonder about the salvation, don't you? Now, Job is an interesting character. And I can find Job just before the Psalms, please. Go to Job. So much in this. We want chapter 42. Chapter 42, Job. In many ways, it's not an easy book to read through, all that Job went through, of course. But this blessing here, nevertheless. When all that Job suffered and what he lost, lost all his animals, he lost his house, he lost his children. The only one he had left was his critical wife. But the Lord was with him. Look in chapter 42 of Job. Job says at the beginning, I know, he says in verse 2, Job answered the Lord, I know that you can do everything, that no purpose of yours can be withheld from you. That's certainly very true. And right at the very end, when Job prayed for his friends, the Lord accepted Job in verse 9. And verse 10, the Lord restored Job's losses when he had prayed for his friends. There it is. Indeed, the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before. He had more animals. He had seven more children. The other seven are in heaven. The Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before. Look in verse 12. Now the Lord blessed the latter days of Job more than his beginning. Verse 13, he had seven sons and three daughters. Job was greatly blessed. He was a righteous man. He wasn't totally perfect, but the Lord blessed him with more at the end than he had at the beginning. Job was made fruitful by El Shaddai. Very important. That word, Almighty, is mentioned 31 times in Job. What a revelation for dear Job that was. Through his suffering, the Lord sustained him. The Lord strengthened him. He satisfied him. And he made him fruitful. Had seven more sons. Think of Enoch. He walked with God in harmony, fellowship, and obedient trust, in tune with the will of God. He was like a baby. He walked with God, and Hebrews says the Lord, well, he walked with God, and Genesis, the Lord took him away from us to follow him in judgment. He was like a baby, nourished at the breast of Almighty God, El Shaddai. No broken cisterns or empty places in the husk for him. He was blessed by the first rapture, if you'd like to put it that way. Now, Psalm 91. Let's go on to that from Job. Let's look at that. In Job 91. Let's look at the first four verses again. This is a challenge to us. Walking close to the Lord. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide, remain, under the shadow of the Almighty. Well, that's close. Because like the sun overhead, doesn't create much shadow, does it? You have to be close to the Lord. I will say of the Lord, he's my refuge and my fortress, my God, in him will I trust. He's the one who sustains us. That's certainly true. Dwelling under the protective shadow of Almighty God, El Shaddai, of a Heavenly Father. Protection. Look in verse 3, he will deliver from evil. Verse 4, protection. He should cover you with his feathers. Under his wings you should take refuge. His truth should be our shield and buckler, protection in danger, not be afraid of any terror by night, and so on and so on. Verse 9, because you have made the Lord, who is my refuge. This is the psalmist's testimony to others. You have made the Lord, who have made, he is my refuge. So he says, make him your refuge. And he is our habitation. We live in him, and Christ lives in us. End of verse 9, even the Most High, your habitation. You live in him. Christ lives in you. Christ in you. Jesus said, be in me and I in you. That's certainly true. And there's protection like, well, the situation during temptations of Jesus, where Satan misquotes verses 11 and 12. Protection. Again, verse 14, because, here's the word, because, like in verse 9, because you made the Lord, who is my refuge, your habitation, in verse 9, verse 14, because he has set his love upon me, the psalmist, the Lord replying to the psalmist, therefore I will deliver him. I will set him on high. That's where we're going. But high also now in divine protection, belonging to the Lord, because he has known my name. Ah, personal, know my name. Jesus said in the Gospels, depart from me, I never knew you. You never knew me, and I never knew you. You didn't know my name. Personal. Salvation experience. Christ lives in us, the hope of glory, in Colossians 1. John 15, he says, abide in me and I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, remain there. No more can you, except you abide in me. I am the true vine, you are the branches. He that abides in me and I in him, the same shall bring forth much fruit, fruit of spiritual quality, character of Christ. For without me, you can do nothing at all. That's certainly true. So, El Shaddai is that loving, caring, covering, close, covenant name for God. He has known my name. It was first called to the patriarchs, Abraham, Isaac, and then Jacob. And towards that growing family which he has chosen, it includes you as well. Protected for, provided for, El Shaddai, feed of my breast. Well, of course, those conditions in Psalm 91, he does demand obedience and response to him. He gives us his grace and favor, yes, but the blessing follows on. Ephesians 1 speaks about all the blessings of the Lord. We are blessed in his blessings. Ephesians chapter 1. So these men, as we have, they had their faults and made their mistakes. Abraham did, Isaac, Jacob, so do we. So are others in the New Testament. But like Job, for example, the Lord considered Job a man of moral and upright living and spiritual life. He never spoke out against his friends too heavily. He never spoke out against the Lord, and the Lord blessed him. His friends, in fact, were rebuked, if you call them friends, and they were corrected too. But for Job, El Shaddai was his covering blessing. He was the strength of Job and the power of Job. And the Lord made him fruitful, of course, as I said before. He sustained Job in that awful suffering that he experienced in his own physical, as well as the friends who were so critical of him. Abraham was called by God, promised rich blessings, and promised to supply all his needs, which he did. And he promised to supply all our needs. Philippians 4:19, you know it, don't you? My God shall supply all your need according to his riches, not out of. If I gave you something out of my bank account, I have less. But he gives according to his riches, he never gets less. In his riches, see the point. And it's his riches in glory, where he is at the moment, Jesus. So through him we're blessed anyway. And of course, Abraham, like we saw in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, Abraham was called out from an idolatrous city of Ur. Called out to go where he didn't know, which happened to be Canaan, became Israel. That's what happened to him. He was called out of an idolatrous world, so you and I. And that world is perishing. We read of the different judgments it's promised to the unbelieving and the godless in the Psalms that we read. So El Shaddai, the Almighty God, he either pours out new life to us and sustaining life, nourishing life, strengthening life, blessing to all those who receive Christ, of course, who become sons and daughters of the Lord God Almighty, our Father in heaven. We become new creatures in Christ. A new creation. 2 Corinthians 5:17. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature or new creation. Old things are passed away. Takes time. Passing away implies death. Death to the old ways. Death to the old man. I tell you, he struggles to stay alive, doesn't he? He fights anew. We know that. All things become new. In the end, the Almighty God will pour out his judgment. The book of Revelation, he pours out his judgments upon a sinful, ruined world. In the book of Revelation, Almighty is mentioned 8 times. I won't go into places. I could do, I won't do. 8 times Almighty is used in the book of Revelation. But it relates to judgments only. In Job, for example, it was a judgment on the flesh. In our flesh, there is no good thing, as Romans tells us. As I said, the word Almighty occurs 31 times in Job and 8 times in the book of Revelation. It's the character of love, grace, mercy, peace, holiness, and goodness, righteousness in the Lord, but also judgment that we know all right. But we find that the Lord is very personal. And I'm going to just close with, go, I think you're still in Psalm 91. Let's look at that again. Psalm 91. The Lord is very personal, as he always is. Of course, we belong to him, relationship, fellowship. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide on the shadow of the Almighty. He, not they, one at a time, personal, you, singular. It's not those in the plural, though it does apply to all of us who are redeemed, but it's so personal, dealing with each one individual in relationship. And look at verse 2. I will say of the Lord, this is a response, I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge, personal, the believer speaking, psalmist speaking, for himself. He's my refuge, my fortress, my God, personal. In him, I will trust. See how personal this is? It's individual. We could echo that. He's my God. In him will I trust. Response with confidence. That's what the psalmist says. My confidence is in the Lord God Almighty. I trust him for who he is, what El Shaddai means to me. Because you made El Shaddai your refuge and habitation. You live in him, he lives in us. So the believer is called to walk in the light as he is in the light. Walk in light of the Lord, the love of the Lord, for the Lord. Finally, look in the previous psalm to one verse, Psalm 90. Look at the last verse. This is all the results of the Lord himself, the one who nourishes, the one who strengthens, the one who sustains and satisfies and makes the believer fruitful, El Shaddai. Look in Psalm 90, verse 17, as we close. Let the beauty of the Lord, our God, be upon us, and establish the work of our hands. Establish the work of our hands. Let the beauty. Well, you know the old chorus, let the beauty of Jesus be seen in me. Do you know that one? It's one of the old choruses that younger generation don't know. It's, let the beauty, the character, the strengthening, the nourishing, the sustaining, satisfying life of Christ to make us fruitful. May the beauty of Jesus be seen in me. Lovely chorus. I wish it was in this chorus, but there it is. El Shaddai, the God who strengthens, the God who nourishes, the God who sustains us, the God who satisfies us, the God who makes us fruitful. Hallelujah. Amen. El Shaddai is for us.
Amen.
Never against us.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, John.